My name is Missy, and I am an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday 8 p.m. Blue Chip Speakers Meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual and our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on aabluechipbeakers.org will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. Tonight's speaker is Ed G. from our 8 p.m. Thursday men's meeting here at NABA and the Happiness Group at 8111.
I'm Ed, and I'm grateful to be a member of AA and an alcoholic.
I am
very happy for the opportunity to speak at this meeting and to share my experience, strength, and hope with you as a member of this fraternity and sorority and group, whatever description of a powerful organization that is devoted to helping everyone in it to live the best kind of life that is possible for us to live. And I came into this program in 1990, and my sobriety date is March 12th of that year, and I have not had a drink since then, or well before then, but I picked up the white token that indicates a desire to stop drinking and to participate in a way of life that is constructive as opposed to the opposite. I was born in Ohio in 1939 to get away from speculation about any date or whatever my source of coming into this life might have been, or was, or is. I was born to a couple who lived in a small town, grew up in a small town in northwestern Ohio, and I was a desired child. My parents wanted me, and they put off forming a family and having children for a good while because they wanted to get settled before having a family. And I recall my father saying, when I was able to hear and understand what he felt, was that it was the most joyous, happiest day of his life when I came into the world. And that's a good feeling, I guess, when you hear that your parents really wanted you and that you were loved and that the world was waiting for you. I took advantage of the opportunities that I had as a young person, perhaps too much so in certain circumstances. For example, I became aware as a result of going to church school and being a part of a church community as a young person, probably below 5 years old at the time that this incident took place. But I heard them talking about birthdays, and I decided that I wanted a birthday party. And I did not tell my mother or father that I wanted a birthday party. I just decided to invite my fellow classmates in the Sunday school that I was attending at church that I was going to have a birthday party. And I invited the children in the class, my mother knowing nothing of it. I hadn't told my father either. But somehow, a birthday party ensued. My mother and father were very solicitous of this initiative on my part. They obviously did not expect anything like this, but it happened, and they made the best of us, and I enjoyed my birthday party, as did the other children who came and the adults who also were aware of it and came. It's an example of the supportiveness and the love extended to me as a child, too young to know the difference of being responsible to at least lay the groundwork for a birthday party that I, immature as I was, simply wanted on the basis of hearing about birthday parties and wanting one. Well, I became more responsible going forward in my childhood, but I was the beneficiary of a lot of attention in those early years from my mother and father. My mother was an elementary school teacher and read to me a lot because I wanted to learn, because I wanted to be entertained, I guess. I don't know what prompted my interest in hearing the stories that I heard from the books that she read, but it was very constructive in the sense that I really had my interest in learning piqued by the way I was treated as a child and as I was supported in my interests in whatever happened to pass my attention and that attracted my interest. My childhood basically was pleasant, and I enjoyed the participation in the church and the Sunday school that was characteristic of my life during that period. I was the beneficiary of not only going to church school and church camps, but also later on in the summer music camps that were a part of the scene as well. And so I benefited from that, and I was interested in school, did pretty well in school, and did not behave in such a way as to, except for that birthday party, call attention to myself that it was not appropriate. In any case, I was also benefited by the teachers that taught in the school that I attended. It was a small town school, but the teachers were very serious about their work, and the entire population of individuals that attended the school benefited from their efforts and their seriousness and their commitment to education. I was made aware during this period of high school, junior high school and high school, that there were some dangers lurking in the surrounding world that needed to be given attention. And one of those dangers was the use of alcohol. And I did not think about that very much, except to pick up on the warning that was given, that alcohol was something that could be used responsibly and was by many people, but also was very, very dangerous. And for a long time, I resisted the inclination to use alcohol. I maintain a life as a person, young person, that did not use alcohol for the balance of my high school time, and it was only after several years of college that I decided that I wanted to use some alcohol, and I started by drinking beer. And that was basically the extent of my alcohol use during my late teenage years and early 20s. But I eventually found that I came to use alcohol on a regular basis and found that it was a way to participate in interaction with my companions and my fellows in school and in college. By this time, I had moved to enter college and participate in the intellectual life of venues that were far from home in many respects. I went to colleges in other cities, and in that process became familiar with the kind of interaction that was a part of drinking, and I occasionally drank a little bit too much and found that I sometimes needed to be a little bit more vigilant about what I was doing. I still was able to proceed in my education and to eventually get an undergraduate degree, and also able to get graduate degrees that enabled me to have a career in education. During this period, there were people outside of my family and the immediate people who I came in contact with in school or otherwise that had an impact on me, other students that were serious about their work and their activities, educational activities, were of some significance in my life. The son of the pastor in the church that we went to was a budding intellectual and kept talking about preparing for entrance exams known as the SATs. The SATs referred to the Scholastic Aptitude Test, which were an entrance test that was widely used and still is widely used to see if, to evaluate the competence or capability of achieving success in college. He kept mentioning his interest in preparing for these tests, or this test, and said that I should do so as well. And so I followed his advice and did studying that was appropriate for doing reasonably well on this test, and I was able to get into a good college and to continue my education in this way. Was able to do reasonably well on the test and to make reasonable grades as well. This takes me up to my 20s, when, as I say, I discovered some use of alcohol as a means of dealing with pressures that existed in the life that I was leading. I was able to, for the most part, not use alcohol excessively, but there were occasions where I did so, and I regret those instances, but nonetheless they're a part of my story and my life. I don't want to minimize them. Sometime later, years later, in fact, I discovered that I was drawn to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous because of the way in which Alcoholics Anonymous provided a way of disciplining and living one's life that was positive and had a capability of turning one's life in a direction that was constructive as opposed to destructive. In this regard, I became aware of what Alcoholics Anonymous attempts to do in the process of making life capable of being lived in a world in which there is powerful situation for pursuing activities, opportunities to serve others as a volunteer who achieves great inner satisfaction in the process of serving, as I say, serving others. Such service often comes with the intangible reward of addressing fearful emotions in the process of becoming familiar with the steps and insights of Alcoholics Anonymous as a part of a way of life. I came into the program, as I say, in 1990. I was impressed by what the program offered in the way of being of service to others and through understanding the principles that were characteristic of AA in this entire process of recovering from alcoholism. I want to suggest to you that the admission of powerlessness over alcohol is a realization that I came to fairly early in my experience in the program. I had been among those teachers that I had encountered in high school, had been impressed by the observations that were made by some of these, I will not say, cannot say, old teachers, but highly experienced and teachers who had a lot of experience in the realm of education. It had been observed by these mature teachers that alcohol had the capacity to be a real danger and very dangerous. A mathematics teacher that I recall, she was probably at this point in her 60s and on the verge of retiring, observed a situation about a young man who had very great promise, who in his high school years came and encountered some bad whiskey, some home brew that had gone bad, and that he drank, in any case, some of this bad booze, and was forever thereafter compromised, was not able to live a life that was positive in the least. She cited this case of this young individual as an example of the dangers of alcohol that could all too easily be overlooked and could produce then bad results that had long-lasting, powerful, negative consequences. The admissions that are characteristic of adopting the AA program are capable of leading one through a maze of danger. Bear traps that sometimes have a highly powerful effect in frustrating success. And I say that by referring to AA's first step, that I was powerless over alcohol and that my life was unmanaged and was such because of the bad habits, that I had come to experience in my life and that made it impossible to live a decent life. I think it is important to know that it is often impossible to see what is going on, to see what is happening when it is happening. And that is the case with the difficulties that the inordinate use of alcohol can produce. And that is the first step that we're all familiar with, that characteristic of the beginning of the approach of Alcoholics Anonymous. When we admit that we are powerless in this way, it calls for action that will create a circumstance whereby to be able to, through that unmanageability of a life, my life, creates a situation where I can come to believe that a power greater than myself can restore my sanity. What is required in this situation where I make an admission that my life is chaotic, my life is unmanageable, that there's chaos, that there is a possibility of turning things around, of coming to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can lead me to being able to live a life that is sane and has capacity to produce living in such a way that is positive and is one that has merit. The question that I ask myself is, what is involved in coming to believe? Very difficult question. Coming to believe in the face of experience that is chaotic, is self-defeating as a result of drinking and other kinds of actions that are really self-defeating. What is involved is that I have a need to be able to go from this state of powerful confusion to a state where I can do something that is constructive, so that I can take actions that allow me to see what I otherwise could not see and move then in a direction that allows me, gives me the capability to take actions that otherwise I cannot take or I am frustrated at taking. I need to make a commitment to act, a commitment to do, a commitment to orient myself in such a way that it is possible to have hope and to be able to make progress, limited as it might be, in getting things done that need to be done. I need to make a commitment to do, to identify what I can do that is constructive, what action I can take that is positive. If I can request assistance from my fellows and my higher power, since I have come to believe in the process that has gone before, come to believe that a power greater than mine can restore me to sanity, I can rely on that power to give me the assistance that I need to make progress. So there is a path, limited though it may be, that offers some out from the pessimism that occurs in the depths of the difficulties of the negativism that comes as a result of the misuse of alcohol. I have to act. I have to persuade myself to act and to reinforce the rewards that come with that action. If I can act and give myself a slight reward for making that limited achievement that I have set out for myself to do, things are moving, slow as they might be, in a positive direction. So it is something that requires support and motivation. When I do something that is positive in the quest to have the support, move on the basis of the support from my higher power, from that elusive force that exists, that I have come to believe in, a power greater than myself that has the capability to restore my sanity. Now I'm making a little bit of progress, but it is progress that is halting at best at times. But I have come to believe that there is a possibility of making that progress, to establish some goal and to engage in activity that carries me one step at a time in the direction that I want to go in trying and in succeeding to move closer to the achievement of those goals. There are actions that are required that are often far too easily overlooked. If I see something, I'm able to perceive something that can be done, I can ask my higher power for support and assistance in making progress to that goal. If I give myself a slight reward, I can't choose a reward that is negative or destructive, but if I can tell myself I'm doing a reasonable job. I've done something. I can get something done. I reward myself with something that is not destructive. I can make progress. It's difficult, but it can happen. The use of reward, small reward, to make a little bit of progress is worthwhile if that is all that can be done. I need to be able to make a commitment to do, to take that action, take some action, to see what is positive as opposed to wallow in what is negative. Need to use good rewards as opposed to destructive ones. How do I persuade myself to act, to do, to select those actions that can pay off as opposed to those that don't? It's possible as a result of using the power that is included or present in a group of alcoholics to move forward, to move, to be motivated. It may seem impossible, but it's the power is there when people are in a loving mood trying to support each other to do something that addresses the challenges of the moment. To engage in the process of meeting goals. If I establish modest goals and achieve them and reward myself for achieving a modest goal, it's positive, it's good, it's progress. There's a saying, progress rather than perfection is something that should be kept in mind. Meditation and prayer. Remember, there is that observation. I have come to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. It's possible for me to move in a way that has as the end result a result that makes sense, that I like, that is not so frustrating. I can do that. The third step after coming to believe is written in the big book and in the 12 and 12 as having made or making a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand that higher power, that God. How do I implement? How do I make an effective decision? It involves acting. I need to find some source of power to take that action that is called for. And the literature talks about willingness of making that effort. I can find the willingness when I experience the power that exists in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. There is power in these rooms that can be mobilized, and power that comes when I try to help somebody else. That gets me out of myself. That enables me to make progress, to be positive, to enable me to accomplish what I otherwise could not accomplish. If I can keep an open mind, keeping an open mind is a guard against doing what people used to talk about, throwing out the baby with the bathwater. I guess babies get thrown out with bathwater on occasion, and that it's not a good idea to treat babies that way. I guess that's child cruelty. It's something that should not happen. If I can turn my will and my life over to the care of a higher power as I define that higher power, if I am able to keep an open mind at how to pursue that, how to take the action, to decide on the act that is involved in that process, I'm making progress. Admitted my powerlessness, I think that I will take the opportunity to open it up to reactions that anyone wants to give at this point, and to share your own struggles or triumphs, as the case might be, in the process of addressing recovery.
My name is Jarvis, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Jarvis.
Hi, Jarvis.
I was first before I speak and share. I want to first just thank my higher power for allowing me to be here at an AA meeting, clean and sober and serene in my right mind. For that, I am truly, truly grateful. Thank you, sir, for sharing the story. I got so much out of what you shared. Thank you for NAVA having a speaker meeting tonight to speak to my spirit. This is my first time here at this meeting. I've been in and out of the rooms of AA for the last 15 years. I had 10 years clean and I relapsed. So I'm very, very familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm very, very familiar with the literature, what goes on here, what I should do, what I shouldn't do. But what I want to discuss tonight is what you were speaking about the willingness. You know, at this point, I'm 42 days clean, and I'm back in treatment. I'm grateful for that. However, I'm tired. I'm tired of repeating the same things, expecting different results. I'm tired of my insane behavior with this disease of alcoholism that I suffer with, and not really putting forth the amount of willingness I put forth into my drinking. I want to start putting that willingness into.
Thank you, Jarvis.
Thank you, Jarvis, for letting me share.
Please come back.
I sure will.
Thoroughly enjoyed the process of being a part of this.
Truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. Your amount of sobriety is truly an inspiration, and I loved your story.
Just another homesick child, tired of running wild, ready to stand trial and move on. Though I'm guilty in your sight, have some mercy tonight. I can't make it through this fight all alone. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Work until I work it on out. But please, please, won't you shine enough light on me till I'm free from the shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt. As I try to make some sense of this world I'm up against, well, I know my best defense is your love. When the struggle gets insane and the lessons full of pain, keep me calling out your name with love. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it on out. Just shine enough light on me till I'm free from the shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt. From the bottom of my heart, and I'm searching for one star to shine. I will shout from mountain high, and I'll reach into the sky, till you open up my eyes so blind. But oh Lord, don't make it easy. Keep me working till I work it on out. But please, please, won't you shine enough light on me till I'm free from shadow of doubt. Keep me out of the shadow of doubt.